Well, good morning, church. The scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus declares, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The scriptures are as relevant today as they were when they were written.
Amen. Nice job, Craig. Thank you. Morning. Hey, let me get you caught up. We're in the second week of our I Am series, and last week we were in John chapter 6 talking about Jesus making the statement, "I am the bread of life," and essentially the point was, he is our sustenance. We need to take him in. The challenge Matt gave us was each day to start our day, let him be the place that we look for any kind of sustenance in, to get our fill in, to bring him in to start each day. Now this week, we're going to go to John chapter 7. In John chapter 8, talking about the next I am statement of Jesus, which is, "I am the light of the world." In chapter 7, Jesus is speaking at what's called the Feast of the Tabernacles. And it's this thing, this tradition, where a lot of the Jews would come to Jerusalem for about a week or so, and they'd set up these temporary shelters and do all these kind of different festivities and things. And essentially, the goal was to celebrate what all God had done for the Jewish people, particularly in the wilderness. And then also to anticipate what God might do in the future as well. Now, they had this one event called the illumination of the temple. That sounds really cool, doesn't it? The illumination of the temple. I have always been fascinated by things that illuminate in the midst of darkness. So I got a couple pictures here. First one is of our tent. We went to a family reunion, and my sister-in-law took this picture of our tent, and I just love that picture. It's one of my favorite pictures because you've got the backdrop of all this darkness starting to form, but you've got the illumination of this tent. Things like a firework display. Next slide. This was at the Spear Farm a couple years ago, and just people are infatuated with fireworks, right? It's just this beauty of light in the midst of darkness. And then this last slide, this is at Rockefeller Center with the big Christmas tree lighting. And this, the reason I have this, some of you are chuckling because you're like, "Oh, Dallas and Christmas all the time." But this is the tradition that I think most resembles the illumination of the temple. That at Rockefeller Center in early December, every year, what they'll do is they'll have this big Christmas tree lighting ceremony. And 6.5 million people on average come during those 3 weeks or whatever to go and see these 50,000 LED lights, this 75-foot tree. They just get so excited to go and check that out. If you go to New York City at the end of the year, a lot of people will put that on their list to go see the Rockefeller tree. In the same way, the illumination of the temple was such a great event at the Feast of Tabernacles. Again, Jesus is speaking in John chapter 7 at this Feast of the Tabernacles, and on the first day of it, they would illuminate the temple in what's called the Court of Women, all right? So they would have about 75-foot lanterns, four of them. So the height of the Rockefeller tree, but four different times. They'd have these lanterns that they would light up on the first day, and they'd keep them lit throughout the whole time. It would be so bright. And the representation was the glory of God throughout the Old Testament. It was this idea of this light shining helps us to experience God's presence during that week. Now, it would shine so bright that it would pretty much light up all of Jerusalem. I mean, it was this Clark Griswold type stuff, man, where just brightness everywhere, right, shining in the neighbor's eyes. It'd be so bright. And the goal was, during this time, to remember all that God has done and anticipate what he might do in the future. Now, because it was so bright and because it was so amazing, when you got to the end of the week, you were kind of bummed that this was over and the lights were going out. I mean, you have all this masterful, wonderful light, and then boom, it's over with. Most scholars believe that it's at this point in time that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Isn't that amazing? So in John 7, he's teaching at the Feast of the Tabernacles. And then it says in John 8, 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world." It'd be like today. You know, you have that holiday season and everybody's all merry and everything. You know, you got that perpetual hope and joy, and you watched the Grinch 6 times and you had the eggnog and you're like, "Man, this has been an amazing season." And then you wake up December 26th and you're like, "Oh man, it's over." And then Jesus appears to you and he goes, no, it's not over, because I am the light of the world. It's this amazing moment in time where, you know, they experience God's closeness with this light, and then it goes out, and then Jesus says, no, I am the light of the world. He is the source of all light. He says in verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Now, one basic thing we got to know about science is that there is no life without light. The first eligibility for life on earth was when God said, "Let there be light." So if you had something block the sun long enough from the earth, everything would die. Starting with the plants, you know, the plants need sunlight in order to survive. And you got to be able to eat plants, herbivores even. They got to be able to eat plants, and then the carnivores soon after would die because all the herbivores are dead, so there would be no more life if there's no more sunlight. That's what Jesus is saying here. It's an amazing claim he's making. He's saying, there is no life apart from me. I am the light of life. It's an extraordinary truth for us to grasp. And by the way, he made his dwelling among us, which means if we follow after him, we always have the light of life. It's an amazing, profound truth he's speaking here. He says, look, the lights have gone out. You had these 75-foot lanterns, and that was cool, and it was a great experience. But guess what? This thing continues on because I am the light of the world. Now, Jesus being the light of the world really means two things. One, that the light will never go out. You don't have to worry ever again about the light going out in your life because he is constant. Again, just like at this illumination of the temple, the lights go out and they go, oh man, you know, I just wanted that light there. And maybe for you, maybe there's a light of your job and you want it to continue on, but you fear it may go out. Or the light of your health. Or the light of you name it. Jesus is saying here, you're always going to have light. You're always going to have light. If you just follow after him, there will always be light. And the second thing, it means that there's no amount of darkness that can overcome the light. John chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 say this. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. I love that statement. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, don't miss verse 5. That's our security. That's our confidence. There is no amount of darkness that could ever overcome the light. You can't just like throw more darkness on top of light and make it go out. That's just not how it works. The light cannot be overcome. And his promise is that if you'll just follow after him, you will never walk in total darkness again. You'll never have to give in to fear. You never have to give in to sin habits. You never have to lose hope. No matter what, you will always have the light. Just follow after the light. Now, the promise is not that you will never have darkness again. Although, when we get to Revelation 22, it says that one day there will be no more night. That you don't even need a lamp anymore because everything will be light. But in this life, there will be darkness, but the promise is that you will always have light in the midst of darkness. And darkness can never overpower the light. Praise God. I mean, if we could just grasp that fundamental truth, how much more peace would we live with knowing darkness cannot ever overcome the light? I had a parent one time come to me and said, my kid always fears about like a bad guy coming in the house and stuff. And I keep saying, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You don't have to worry about that. And she was surprised by my advice, which was to stop saying it can't happen, but to instead say, even if it does happen, there is still hope in the midst. So one of my girls one time asked me, Daddy, is it possible, because we just watched, I think, Home Alone 1 or 2, and they were like, is it possible that somebody would break in here? And I said, well, it's not very likely. But yeah, absolutely, it's possible. But what's also true is that we've got a security system. We can call the police in the midst. You've got a light sleeping dad who sometimes is maybe itching to have that kind of fight. Like, let's go, break in my house, come on. And then also, I'm going to pay for this one, but also I said, and look in the closet, I got this nice shotgun, and if I need to use it, then I know how to use it. The point being, it's not peaceful to keep saying over and over again, bad things won't happen. It is our peace, though,
to say that even if bad things happen, we always have the light of life. That's the point. That's the promise of God here. He's saying, follow after me, you will always have light. And by the way, that is security. It's even if it does happen, we always have the light, and darkness cannot overcome that light. So, when the feast was over, Jesus says, the lights go out. I mean, you just picture like the one big building and the power going out today. Somebody just takes that lever and boom, darkness. And Jesus says, no, I am the light of life. It's amazing. Now, check out this language in John 8:12. He says, not only can you follow the light, he also wants us to have the light, and he wants us to shine it. Follow him into the light, and then have that light in our lives. See, this is foundational, and if you remember nothing else this morning, remember this. In just the same way that Jesus says, the light is not temporary anymore, like at the Feast of Tabernacles, it is constant, because he is the light of life. In the same way, he's also saying that the illumination of the temple isn't just one week in some courtyard building anymore. Instead, he wants to illuminate the temple year-round. And that temple now is us. See, he wants us to follow him into the light, have that light, and then let that light begin to illuminate our entire being, to illuminate our minds, our hearts, our actions, our souls, everything. See, constant light wants to have a constant dwelling place to illuminate. The illumination of the temple continues, and it continues on in us. Just the same way that the light of the world is constant, he also wants the light, the illumination of the temple, to be constant. And so we're going to talk here in a minute about practicality, but I just want to prove this point. He says in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, just like the illumination of the temple would go for everybody to see, he wants us to begin illuminating so that the world can see something different. They can see a light in the midst of the darkness. That's the way he's speaking here. And again, I just want to prove the point about us being the temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. So before we talk practicality, let's just not miss this, all right? We get so excited about things illuminating, you know, and no judgment, by the way, all right? Because I'm not real big on fireworks, but you turn those Christmas lights on at the end of the year, I'm like, this is awesome. And I know so many people, you just love that, right? That things illuminate. But isn't it so much more amazing that Jesus wants to illuminate our being? I mean, that's the invitation here, right? That he wants the light of the world, not only that we can follow it, but we can have it, and it can begin to illuminate us as the temple of God. So if you put John 8 and Matthew 5 together, we get this theme of what God's trying to do. He wants us to follow the light of life and have that light, and then let that light shine before others. That's the goal for us, that we would follow the light, have the light, illuminate that light to the world. Now, the question very simply then would be, would you say that your life is illuminating the light of Jesus? And I don't mean that you're getting everything perfect in your life. That's not what living in the light means. That's so crucial for us to understand. Living in the light does not mean we do everything perfectly. It means we don't keep secrets, especially from God, and in the New Testament ethic is from the people closest to us, we don't keep those things either. See, even Jesus himself doesn't keep anything from three people, Peter, James, and John. He takes them up on that mountain, and he's like, here's Moses, here's Elijah, here's everything. I'm not keeping anything from you. And I think for us, same thing is true. Are we living in the light? Are we keeping secrets? Are we in darkness? That's a question we've got to ask ourselves. And so very simply, the next step is step into the light through confession. Confession is such a great tool for us to live into the light. Now, confession doesn't necessarily have to be about sin, although it is about sin. But it could also be the deep discouragement that we have, or the deep insecurity, or the deep whatever it is, like just bringing those things to the light, especially the thing that you don't want to bring to the light. That's crucial. I've spent so much of my life trying to compensate for what I won't give over to God. It's like, God, I'm not really going to step in to that thing, but I'm going to tithe more for you. Or, God, I'm not going to address that issue with control, but I'll serve more in the church. Jesus is saying, I want that thing. I want that thing that you've got hidden in the dark, that deepest thing. Maybe you've been holding on to it for decades. Maybe there's something you did a couple decades ago, and you're like, man, I just hope nobody finds out about it. That's the thing that Jesus wants. How many times through the scriptures? John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. He's like, hey, I'm going to get into the wound right now. I'm going to get into the deepest, darkest thing. We've got to address those things so that we can live into the light. How many times do we say, you know what, I really want to reflect God's light to the people around me, but then we hold on to some of those deepest secrets, those deepest things. See, what happens is the enemy loves for us to operate in darkness, to keep things hidden. But what we got to do instead is expose it, bring it to the light, and that's how we can begin to illuminate for the people around us. So important. Keeping things in darkness, it starts to set the hooks in that sin habit or in that worry, in that anxiety, in that thing that's happened. And instead, we need to bring those things to the light. See, confession is us moving into the light. And by the way, God already knows all things anyway. You ever, I don't know why we do this, but like this is an all-knowing God. But sometimes we treat it like smoke and mirrors. You know, God, look over here at this thing while this thing is going on. It's like that kid when you play hide and seek and they, you know, like 3 or 4 year old kid and they're like, I got a brilliant idea. I'm going to grab this blanket and I'm just going to put it over my head and they'll never know where I am. That's kind of what we do with God. He knows those things. We might as well bring those things to the light. We can't wait until 3 a.m., sneak around, try to bury that sin habit, bury that thing, and keep it from God. It just doesn't work that way. God knows all of our hiding spots. We must bring it to the light. One of my girls, she had this intense fear of blood for a little while. Thankfully, she doesn't anymore, but she'd be playing outside, you know, in summertime or whatever, wearing shorts, and she'd scrape a knee or something, and she would scream her head off. And she'd come inside, and the way that she wanted to deal with it was take the shorts off and put pants on so she can't see the wound anymore. Meanwhile, mom and dad are going, look, we want to work on this wound. We want to treat this wound, but if you cover it up, we can't do that. And what happens ultimately is you risk infection. You risk really bad things happening if we leave things untreated. See, in order to treat a wound, you got to bring it to the light. And so many of us leave so many things untreated because we just refuse to bring it to the light. God already knows. He is the great physician. He wants to work in those spaces and bring healing and bring freedom if we would just bring those things to Him. How can a plant ever grow and produce fruit without being in sunlight? How can a wound ever be treated and brought healing if it is not brought to the light? How can any life be produced without there being placed in the light? We've got to understand that. So many of us, we have good intentions. We want people to see Jesus in us, our kids, family members, coworkers. But we've got to make the connection that in order for them to see Jesus in us, we have to be able to step into the light so that that light can illuminate our being. Luke, if you will, throw that tent picture back up, if you don't mind, for a second. Look, maybe it's just me, but I would just love for our life to ultimately look like that. I mean, there's almost like no dark spots in there. What would it look like for our being to be totally illuminated? We allow God's dwelling place to be deep within us to the point where He starts to push back darkness so that we can reflect light. Worship team, you guys can go ahead and come forward. Here's our very specific action step for this week. If there's something you're hiding, bring it to the light. Not just to God, not just owning it to God, but owning it to somebody you care about. Again, Jesus sets this example of have everything being out there with three people. Now, I'm not even saying three people. Let's start with one. There should be one person in your life that knows everything about you. That, I just fully believe that. I think that's so important. to be so transparent, to be so humble and willing to just step into the light that we say everything's on the table. Maybe it's that thing that happened a couple decades ago. Maybe it is a thought pattern that continues to play in us. Maybe it's just this deep insecurity that you have. I'd love for you to spend some time with God this week and go, God, is everything out there? Is everything out into the light? Is there anything that I need to tell somebody about, and specifically Him first and foremost? Because I believe, guys, I really do, that He wants to be that constant source of light in our lives, and He wants the temple of God, which is our body, now to illuminate, because the world around us needs to see light. The world around us is desperate for light, and we've got to make the connection that it all starts with us stepping into the light and living a life of confession. So, who's that one that you can go to and talk about that thing so that we can step into the light? Because all I know at the end of the day is He is light, and if we follow after Him into His ways, then we will see Him work. We will experience that peace that He desires for us, and the world around us will begin to see something different. And by the way, the world is desperate for something different. Will we allow Jesus, the light of the world, to illuminate our whole being? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the reality that You are the light of the world. And Father, as we follow after You, as we're committed to stepping into the light and living into the light, I pray, would You just help us more and more to have that light and to shine it so brightly for the world that is in darkness to see something different. Father, would You start in this place? Maybe there are convictions we don't even know about yet. Maybe there's something we haven't even searched deeply enough to just go, God, what is it I'm not handing over to You? Father, during this time, would You grant that sweet conviction to be able to go, yeah, I need to hand that thing over. I need to step into the light. I need to be transparent about that thing. And then perhaps in the process, we'll experience more and more light within our being to the point where the world sees something so much different. Father, let us be an illuminated temple. We love You so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's worship.